B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Maserati from Canal Street and the Bruins Fan Fest here at the Boston Sports Grill up until 7 o'clock and pregame for Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. As promised, right back to your phones. Mike in the truck, what do you got for us on Chara tonight?
Yeah, Chara, man. You know who he reminds me of? Ivan Drago. Chara, you're cleared to play, but we want you to know we really don't think I play. If I die, I die.
Maybe that's... Okay, I'm hearing half of that because they got music going on here and he's putting on an accent or something.
Yeah, but... he did an Ivan Drago impersonation is
okay.
What he did.
I just can't hear it. But Char is a bad man, Murray.
Oh, without question. I can't hear anything, so I'm just going to yell. Hopefully you're hearing what I'm saying. No, if he ends up playing, and it does look like he's going to play, this is going to be an all-time thing if they win this game. This will go down in, like, the all-time lore of Boston sports, and we certainly have enough of those type of things. You can just add this right to the pile.
Win the game, win the series, though, is how it really becomes.
Oh, definitely. Otherwise, it just becomes, okay, this was...
a sidebar.
You know, not good job, good effort. It's a valiant effort, but they do need to win this damn thing for this to truly count, for it to be up there with Curt Schilling and the bloody sock.
So, we've spent a lot of time on the courageous aspect of it. He needs to be functional. Like, if he goes out there and he's at all timid or he's protecting it and he turns a puck over that leads to a goal, like, that doesn't do them any good.
Nope, then he's Bill Buckner.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hard spot for a guy like him because if you're going to tell the team, I'm playing, I can do this, and then you go out and you can't, well, then you become a negative. Then you hurt the cause.
And I'm saying Buckner because he was injured, and they played him so he could be out there to celebrate the cup, and it ended up hurting him. So that's – I don't mean, like, the ball rolling between his legs. I'm just talking about if you've then played him for the wrong reason or he doesn't come through, then it becomes, well, why was he out there?
I mean, so a lot of that could fall on Cassidy. Like, you know, or – and I don't know who handles the D. Like, you know, to me, that's one of those where you got to watch him. You got to watch him closely and say if you see him bailing out of a play or anything – that would suggest that the jaw is a factor. Well, then you got to change. You can't just keep doing it just to do it. Whether he's a captain or not, you can't do it.
Okay, so either way, I mean, I'll take this. If he's out there to start and there's a huge emotional lift and you can feel it in the building and with the team and they go out to an early lead and then he sort of sits on the bench and, you know, plays a limited role, that counts to me.
Yeah, sure it does.
I mean, that's Willis Reed. Willis Reed played only 23 minutes in that game and, you know, so, like, he wasn't a huge impact in the game. It was the moment of him coming out there that...
Correct.
And so I'll take that as well. But it has to be in a win. That I do know. If it's in a loss, it really, really goes by the wayside. Brian in Lowell, he's been waiting patiently as well. You're up next with Felger and Maz. Hi, Brian.
Hey, how you doing, Felger?
Good.
The commissioner of sports. My first question is... yes, obviously, the tugging call in the last game, the first period, is that going to change in this? Are they going to let it go like that? Because that was unbelievable.
The tugging call at the end of the first period.
That was the non-call. The non-call.
Which one?
In the first period against the Blues holding the... I'm sorry, I don't remember exactly. I was hoping you knew what I was talking about. The non-call in the first period of the last game was unbelievable. I mean, I don't know. Is that the precedent they're going to set? They're just going to swallow the whistle? I hope so.
All right, so I don't know what you're talking about to even comment on it.
Me neither, but he said tugging, right?
Yes.
So, again, look, we're having a little hard time hearing. So
was someone on the Blues pulling on your jersey? Yeah, so what?
Well, so there was the one where someone was holding on to Coyle's stick, right? Wasn't that at the blue line where they were pulling on each other's sticks? So, but honestly, I looked at that and said, that's par for the course. You're going to get that. I don't think that was a blatant non-call. And I just think the deeper you get in the series, the less... you're going to have the referees involved. The good news tonight is you get the same pair of referees that you had in games 1 and 3 that you won.
That called a lot.
Yes. And so, you know, in theory, it should show up tonight. But I think the deeper you go, the more the whistles get put away.
To follow up on what we just did. I want them to swallow the whistle. I want them to swallow it. Typically, as a fan, that's what I want. I want no calls. The Bruins, however, I think need calls. They are a better special teams team than the St. Louis Blues. So that's sort of the conundrum there. I don't generally like whistles, but it may help the Bruins if they get them. And that means on both sides, because if it's a special teams game, if it's just that kind of game, it benefits them. Hank in Worcester. Go ahead, Hank.
Michael, your cognitive skills are so bad, I'm just going to stick to the Bruins this time.
Thank you.
You got it, man. I haven't had a bloodlust for a sporting event like this since Hagler and Hearns.
Huh.
When that puck drops, I want five little Haglers out there. And while that's going on the ice, I want Beersy getting out of his booth, going over to the other booth where the announcer from The Simpsons, I want him tuned up too. These guys are going to play hard. They're gonna skate through walls for Chara tonight, so don't worry about it.
All right, well, that's what I want to see. And again, if that's what happens, if you can tell there's a clear emotional lift from it, then he gets credit, you know, him playing in this game. We give it credit whether he plays a lot or not.
Do you think it'll show up in terms of physicality?
No, because I don't think they can be more physical than this Blues team.
Where it needs to show up is in jump.
Skating, right, jump. Right. Exactly right.
They got to have jump. They got to have the Blues on their heels. They got to have St. Louis reluctant to pinch in the offensive zone and forecheck because they feel like they're going to get smoked. And if the Blues think that they can go in there and forecheck and pin the Bruins in like they did the last game, the Bruins are in trouble.
Let's grab Roger in Scituate. Hi, Roger.
Hey, how you doing? I think what the last call or a couple calls ago was trying to refer to as far as, like, what penalty was. I think it was the one when McAvoy was being just about, he was being mauled in front of Tuukka there by the Blues player. He did everything but pick his pocket.
Yeah, that was a different game, and it was a different part of the game. But either way.
Or it could have been the one when they had McAvoy was bent over the side of the Bruins bench there, pretty hard hit. But
nope,
anyway,
nope, that was a clean hit. Now I'm getting frustrated. Call someone else if you want to cry about calls. Call Hurley, okay? Call someone else. That was a clean hit on McAvoy along the sides. I mean, really? Should there have been a penalty on that hit on McAvoy?
No,
I thought
it was clean. He got drilled on that.
I hate the crying about the refs. You know, and I hate the fact that you might have become one of these teams that need the refs. God, what's happened to you people? We've got...
You ever notice the calls always deteriorate after 6 o'clock?
Hunter in Cranston. Hi, Hunter.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Mediocre.
All right, well, hey, hopefully tonight's better. Just wanted to touch up on the fourth line, honestly, for the Bruins. Achari and Nordstrom, I think, yeah, they're actually... I honestly feel like they're playing their best hockey of the season. And you can just tell that they're probably the most physical line for the Bruins. I think you guys would agree.
Okay.
So, look, the fourth line overall has been good. I didn't think they had a great game in Game 4. In fact, I thought they had a bad game in Game 4. They weren't really a factor. And the Bruins are relying on them to generate chances and opportunities. Corrales come up with some big plays throughout the postseason, really all year. If the Bruins only have one line going again, I don't care who the two are.
Exactly.
But they got to have someone other than the Coyle line going.
Exactly.
So I don't know. Now, maybe tonight, because they're home, Cassidy can change some of the matchups that existed in Game 4. Because it felt to me like the Blues got the matchups they wanted in Game 4.
You shouldn't be relying on that fourth line offensively like they've come to.
Right? Absolutely.
That's not their. You're in trouble if you're relying on Corrales for goals. And, I mean, he's given them to him, but... That should be gravy, right? That should be just a bonus that you're getting offense from those guys. You shouldn't be, and they have been, they shouldn't be relying on those guys. And that's why, you know, screw, you know, Marchand, Bergeron, and Pastrnak, that first line, zeros, donuts, 5-on-5.
I mean, you know how I feel about Marchand. I look at that whole thing and I say, you cannot be a 100-point player. You cannot be one of the premium goal scorers in the league, one of the really the best players in the league, and a Hart Trophy candidate over the last couple of years, candidate, and show up in the finals and put up zeros and get one shot on goal in two games. I mean, you know, that's what Austin Matthews did against the Bruins last year. So, like, to me, Marchand's got to give more. I just don't think he's given enough.
Pat in Kingston on Brad Marchand. Do you agree with that, Pat?
Mike, how are you, buddy?
Dad, what's
that? Listen, let's talk about Brad Janney. This guy will not shoot the puck. He's like Craig Janney in 88-90 against the Oilers. All he does is go for the extra shot. It's embarrassing. He wants to make the pretty pass. He is absolutely, should go back to what he did in 2011 against Vancouver. Be a punk. Run the show. He's not even on the radar in this series.
Okay. He's comparing Brad Marchand to Craig Janney.
Yeah, so again, to me, the absence of shots is striking. Like, how does a guy like Marchand, who can rifle the puck off a faceoff like nobody's business, and has become really, you know, one of the top two shooters on the team. It's him and Pastrnak, really. How does that guy have one shot in two games?
Shot on net, right.
Right, shot on goal. I mean, he's attempted, you know, a couple of others, but one on goal. And again, there was a moment in the last game that really stuck out to me where he was on the right wing. It was on a power play. He had a lane to shoot the puck, and he just held on to it. And then waited and tried to pass it to the other side.
So DuPont thinks his hand is hurt.
So I was just going to say, Kevin Paul DuPont thinks that there's an injury there and there's something wrong. Which it goes back to that scrimmage. And if he got hurt in that scrimmage, boy, that's hard to take.
If they lose this and he goes zeros, and that's that from that Furkacka scrimmage, oh, boy.
So, but, even then, I still look at him and say, it's no excuse for the way you're playing. You're making bad decisions. You don't look engaged. You don't look like you're digging and battling and fighting for pucks. Like, if he can't shoot, why is he out there? Like, if you can't shoot, you can't play.
George and Natick, what do you got for us?
Yeah, hi. Is Maz there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Oh, Maz. I like your heads and tails at school. You're a winner.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you.
I lost in the first round. I just think everybody's too optimistic here. I'm a little nervous. I think St. Louis could actually even win this in six if they win tonight.
So hold on, I'm going to stop you. Murray, you agree?
Yeah, 100%. I think tonight is the series, and if the Bruins lose this game, they're going to lose Sunday. And it's just going to be us talking about how this Blues team took bodies just like they did against San Jose in the Western Conference Finals. Because that thing, especially after that hand pass in that game that won them that in overtime, it's like, well, the Sharks, they're the Destiny's darlings. They're going to go here. Nope. Blues had that resiliency that you had out of the Bruins all season long. And they beat the bag out of that team in Game 5. They knocked out Pavelski and Hurdle. They didn't even travel for Game 6, and it was over in six games. You've got the same kind of physicality and, you know, that brutishness from the Blues that you saw in that series and this series.
You make a good point, Murray. That is how that went.
Yeah.
That is how that went. Okay. Maz still doesn't rule it. I mean, look.
I don't know, Maz. Like, crazier things have happened, but if the Bruins lose tonight, I don't know how the hell you think they go in there Sunday win.
I'll tell you why, because I think there would be a ton of pressure on the Blues in that building. And if you could ever get the first goal, then all of a sudden the crowd there might go, oh, man, we've been waiting 50 years for this. Like, you know, they sit on their hands a little bit. The Blues do something stupid. Like, I don't rule that out. Now, I told you my concern all along was the physicality of the Blues and the strength of the Blues. They're just monsters. They are absolute monsters. And so you're going to have to beat them by being smarter and more skilled and faster. You're going to have to beat them that way. And ideally, of course, you go back there 3-2. But you know what? They were down 3-2 going to Toronto. And I know that was in the first round. I know it was early. But they won the last two games, and they somehow found a way. And I just, the game, this game in particular, this sport, impossible to predict.
Okay, more of your thoughts right after this. Felger and Maz from FanFest. Can you tell?
It's Felger and Maz, the Boston Sports Grill from the Star Market Booth. Sponsored by Bud Light on 98.5, the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. It's Felger and Maz from the Star Market Booth at the Boston Sports Grill. The Stanley Cup Finals. The only place for the local call of the game. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, welcome back. Felger Mass from FanFest on Canal Street. Boston Sports Grill right down the street from the Garden. We'll get you game ready for Bruins. Bruins Blues, Game 5. I had trouble coming up with the team name there for a second.
No, that happens to me all the time. I still call them the Sharks.
Blues Bruins, Game 5 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. The pregame starts at 7. We're taking you right up until that pregame show at 7 o'clock. They drop the puck shortly after 8. If you're watching on TV, myself and Amante have pre- and post-game coverage on NBC Sports Boston, 7 p.m. For the pregame, right when the game's over, when it's done. Flip on over to NBC Sports Boston for myself and Amante, the best, most unvarnished Bruins coverage here in town. That's your TV side. Earlier, we talked to Mike Rupp of the NHL Network. Thought it worthwhile to re-rack that interview because he has some thoughts on Chara, on the lineup, on this series. And so here's our conversation with Mike Rupp. Ty Anderson is also standing by. He'll join us coming up here in a minute. But first, Mike Rupp of the NHL Network. Mike Rupp, again, thanks for taking the time.
Hey, thanks for having me back here. Excited for this big game five, man.
Have you ever played with a broken jaw?
Every day. No. No?
You ever come close? You
never, huh?
No, I never had it. No, I played with guys who have broken jaws, and they've been out for a while. If he's in there and he's playing, that's pretty uncommon.
What's your thoughts about all this?
Yeah, what do you make of the whole thing?
I think his influence on that team is immeasurable. I think it's good to have him in if you can. My concern is you're going to have him and Grizz both in. You have to dress 7D. Now you're pulling out a forward, and I think that's been, you know, their strength is all the lines at different points are clicking. So it's who comes out? Who do you bring out of the lineup? You cannot. That's the only time the Blues have had success in this series is when the Bruins have been down to 5D. So you're really taking a risk, but it's a risk I guess you're willing to take because you're talking about your captain. You're talking about a pretty good defenseman in Grizzly, too. It's really tough.
Do you think pulling Backus is a real loss?
No, I don't think it's that bad. I think that you'll be able to spot guys in up in there, too. But then again, you remember when Backus came into the lineup when he wasn't playing and then he came in, he gave a nice little boost, and that this is a big team. So, no, I mean, it's not huge. But at the same rate, even with that worst-case scenario, what happens if either of them can't finish the game? Then you're it's a tough one. But I would rather have them in the lineup.
You don't sound all that... I shouldn't say impressed. That's the wrong word. You clearly, like, we hear Chara's playing, and there's this buzz in the city. You're not approaching it that way. You have more trepidation than most people, it sounds like.
For the standpoint of him playing, it's huge for them, the team. Even if he's playing, which I would assume limited minutes, that's enormous. Just to know that this guy's playing with a broken jaw, I mean, you'll get goosebumps. I get goosebumps now thinking about it. I just get concerned because you're talking about a position that you have two guys that you're hoping that they can both play, and they're hoping that they both can finish. And
what would you do if you were
the coach? I think of worst case scenario. No, I would do the exact same thing, but I would be nervous about it.
I mean, would you pull out someone who's totally healthy from deeper on the depth chart and sit those two guys because it's more trouble than it's worth? That's what it sounds like.
I'm kind of looking at it as I would. It's because there's two guys that are banged up. If it was one, it's different. There's two, and so let's say worst case scenario, neither of them can finish or be effective in what they need to do. Even with a 7th D, you're still it's tough. I don't know. I would almost prefer to have either a John Moore or Stephen Kampfer in, but then not over Z. Like, Z's presence isn't. I don't know, man. It's tough. I mean, as long as they go and they play, and you're not in that situation, it's going to be great. It's a big emotional lift. So all those things are great. I just look at it from the standpoint, and a lot of times you have coaches that look at it as, I've always been in positions where I've never had a broken jaw, but when you come back from injury and the coach says to you in the playoffs, listen, I cannot dress you and you not finish. This is your call. We can't do that. So it's a slippery slope.
Mike Rupp of the NHL Network joining us here on Canal Street. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, if you're the Blues, do you target both of those guys?
You hit them every chance you get. I mean, you don't do it in a dirty way. You don't do it. I mean, it's going to be pretty obvious if you're targeting Z's head because most people are going to have to leave their feet for that. But you just sit there, and, you know, it's it's barbaric at sometimes our sport, but you don't do that. So yeah. It's going to be, hey, guys, listen, they got some guys banged up. Everybody's banged up to some degree. These two, every time they touch the puck, you finish your hit, finish your hit, finish your hit. And all that can do also is just make those people, make those players just maybe have a little trepidation. I don't think a Z would necessarily have that, but just maybe hesitate or rush a play. But you're gonna hit. I mean, it's no different. You're gonna hit in every guy, every play. So I would expect that for those guys.
Mike, how do you see the series right now? Is St. Louis taking control, or is it just simply we're in the middle of a back and forth?
My biggest thing, I find it really. I don't know if I see any team winning two games in a row in this series, which bodes well for this team in Boston, because obviously with the home ice advantage. But you sit there. I don't know if St. Louis has another level. I think game four was the best game they can bring. I know Boston's got multiple levels. I just really do. I'm not saying it because I'm sitting here with you guys. I just think Boston can crank it up. If they crank it up here, I don't know if St. Louis has a higher level than they had game four. So, with that being said, with Char and all that stuff and guys coming back from injury, I mean, these are storybook type stuff. This is what, these are the memories you hear and you talk about in sports. So this is kind of setting the table for it.
Has the officiating become a factor in this series?
I don't think so. I don't know. I mean, it's, you always have some, arguments of this and that. I mean, I know even the Craig Berube was mentioning, was it after game three? That,
right. Is there a coincidence that he came out, said what he said, and all of a sudden the whistles went away?
Yeah, it's gamesmanship. I guarantee you that's why he said it. Because, listen, this is a guy that when they had that hand pass in the San Jose series, he never makes excuses for his team. That's what this is what happened. We're going to move on. I guarantee you the message he's saying to the media, kind of floating it out there, he is not saying that behind closed doors. He's saying we're not moving fast enough. That's why we're taking penalties. We're chasing the game, all those things, and that's right. That's why those penalties are being called. But it's gamesmanship. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if the refereeing changes for that. But I haven't found it to be overly egregious in either way.
Mike Rupp, NHL Network. Of all the Bruins that you need to see more from, who's first on your list? If you're Bruce Cassidy, if you're Don Sweeney, and you're looking at your roster and you say, we need more from this guy, who are you looking at?
I'll be honest. If we go back to what forward you would take out, I was thinking David Backes, but I was also thinking Danton Heinen. Danton Heinen had, I thought, probably his best game last game. So he hasn't really been in his groove. So I would say that line, that second line, that Krejci line, David Krejci, he's a very, outside of this market, he's a very underappreciated, underrated player in this league. If he can get going, get that line going, I want more from him in the finals.
What about Marchand?
I don't worry about those guys. I just think those guys are going to get it done.
They're all zeros up 5-on-5.
He's had one shot in the last two games.
Really? I didn't even know that. One
it's
shot
zero
last two.
In the last game.
Yeah.
Zero.
I don't know. I just think that those guys, I think one of the things when you talk about them is for the last 2 years in the regular season, they literally never have a night off. They go every single night. So I just feel like they're going to find it. They're going to, you got three games here, potentially three games left. I would have to think that line would be cooking for at least two of those games. You know what I mean? Yeah. And when that line cooks, they win.
So 0 points, 5-on-5 for that line.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's crazy when you think about it. But that's what, you just got to keep playing. I think that the Bruins are a faster team. Get to the power play. You got to make a team take penalties on you. The St. Louis Blues are nowhere near as quick of a team as Boston. So you get those calls when you force them. You get a step on a guy, go to the net, make him pull you down, make him have some obstruction. So I would be concerned, but I don't see it lasting. They'll find their way out of it.
Final question. The minute we have left, your thoughts on Jordan Binnington? Is he susceptible? Is he vulnerable here?
Well, his numbers after a win are below average. They're not good. I think he's like an 8.99 or something after a win in the playoffs. I don't know what you could chalk that up to. The team maybe letting off the gas a little bit. He's got to fix that if they have any intentions in winning, because they've got to win. They've got to win two games here. And, you know, he always responds after a loss. I think both goalies, I don't think Tuukka has been as challenged as maybe he has in other rounds. Both of them have been, they've been good. They haven't been probably what they were to get here, but susceptible. It seems like they, you know, the team likes to go for his five hole. You know, teams have been kind of targeting that area. But listen, I don't know that guy. I think both these guys, they're like machines. I don't get either of them. They both have been awesome this postseason. And you know, the concern is just it's pretty generic. You make life miserable for them when you can, and just get a lot of shots on net.
Okay, you can watch Stanley Cup champion and NHL Network analyst Mike Rupp here on NHL Tonight, which airs before and after every Stanley Cup final game. Mike, thanks so much for stopping by again. We appreciate it.
Hey, guys.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Starmark booth at the Boston Sports Grill on Canal Street. Sponsored by Bud Light. It's Felger and Mass. It's the Stanley Cup Finals on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Streaming on the Sports Hub app. From the Star Market booth at the Boston Sports Grill.
All right, welcome back. Felger and Mass Extended Edition. Broadcasting to you from the Boston Sports Grill here on Canal Street as we head into Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final between the Bruins and the St. Louis Blues. Jim Murray's alongside. Ty Anderson now joining us from the website 98.5thesportshub.com. And so let's get your take on the whole Chara thing. Did you have an idea he was playing this morning?
This psycho is going to play tonight. That is how I feel. That is what it looks like. I don't think he's out here doing everything he was doing this morning. It's an optional skate. He's testing it, and I think he's going to play. I believe he's that crazy. And I think based on what happened these last few days, he wasn't with the team yesterday. That told me he's getting looked at or maybe getting a procedure of sorts done yesterday to play tonight. And I think it's going to happen.
What kind of minutes do you think he'll actually get? Is it just going to be limited in terms of him playing on a power play or PK, or will he play his normal total?
So if he's playing, I think he's absolutely playing on the PK. I think that's totally happening. But is he going to play 25 minutes tonight like we've seen? Probably not. It all depends on the score. But I think that any key moment where they're protecting a lead or, you know, a key D-zone draw, he could be out there. But I have a feeling they're going to draw 7D tonight. I don't think Grizzlick's in, but I think Chara's in, and they're going to have backup in the event that he's not ready to go.
And do you think Camphor will be that seventh guy?
I do. Based on yesterday's practice, they had Camphor and Clifton as their pairing, a third pairing, moving Clifton to the left side. I don't think they do that unless they truly plan on playing him there. Given sort of what he's done this postseason. So I think you're going to see that 7 roll out tonight as your 7D.
Why wouldn't they use Vaakanainen? Why was there? Bruce Cassidy talked pretty confidently about him. He practiced last week with the team and earlier this week too. And then I think it was yesterday he kind of shot away a little bit. Is it just because the moment's too big for him? Or?
Well, I think it's the moment, but I also think with any of these guys, these Providence guys, they haven't played since April 26th. It's a long layoff. To go from the Calder Cup playoffs to Game 5 of the Stanley Cup, that's a hard ask for anybody. And Cassidy acknowledged that. So I think that Vaakanainen in particular, he's been practicing with their group, yes. But if you go back, he was battling injuries and a sickness towards the end of the year in Providence. So I looked it up. Since, like, March 1st, he's played a total of 9 games, I believe. That's just not enough to be thrown right in this time of year, especially with this kind of team that forechecks like this team does. If he's not ready, that's almost worse than having a 7th defenseman who is only going to play 6 or 7 minutes, or Chara, who's not 100%. I would much rather have Chara at 60% than Vaakanainen at 100% but not ready for the moment. So I think they're sort of weighing the odds there, if you will.
So we're joined by Ty Anderson of 98.5thesportshub.com. He's with us here at the Boston Sports Grills. We get ready for Game 5. Ty, Murray saw something earlier. Murray, where did you see that, on Twitter or
It's a buddy of mine.
A wink, wink, nod, nod.
Yeah, a wink, wink, nod, nod. That it's going to be John Moore and McAvoy as the top D pairing tonight.
Yeah, that would line up with what they had yesterday at practice. It makes the most sense to put John Moore with Charlie McAvoy. It keeps the left-right thing together, and I don't want to break up Krug and Carlo. They've been too good.
But why not Chara with McAvoy, Ty? That's what we're saying. Like, so is it because they got to manage Chara and he can't, to ask him to play those minutes is just unrealistic?
I think right now he's a wild card. We don't know what he has. We really don't. You're not going to know if the first draw. You're going to know midway part of the first period where he is at physically, how can he play, you know, what can he do and what can he do out there. So I think right now they have to prepare as if he's not going to play the whole game. They almost have to. It covers their own asses and gets them ready for this game. So I think that makes the most sense because you can't bank on Chara right now until you actually see him out there. Optional skating is one thing. Game 5 of the Stanley Cup is a totally different thing.
So we had Mike Rupp on earlier of the NHL Network, and he was saying, I mean, I asked him point blank, if you're the Blues, do you just line up Chara? And at that time, we thought Grizzlick still had a chance of playing. Sounds now like Grizzlick is out as well. But I had asked Mike Rupp, what do you do? If you're the Blues, do you target those guys? And he says, absolutely. You hit them every chance you get the puck. You don't do anything dirty, but you hit them. Do you think there is any shot that the Blues would at all, like, ease off on those, on Chara in particular?
No, they want just as bad as you do, right? I mean, this is that time of year that Brad Marchand, after game 4, said, listen, they're not going to quit, so why should we? Talking about the injuries and the physicality of the series. So I agree with that. The Blues want it just as bad as you do, if not more. And keep in mind, a lot of that team, they've never won anything. So they're not going to ease up.
The city's never won anything.
Yeah. So I think that when you look at this game, though, it's tough to target Chara. He's 6'9". It's a jaw injury. So you're going to have to be pretty blatant to target his jaw, I think. So they're going to hit him. But if they hit him upstairs, you got to assume it's going to get called, especially with this crew. This is Kozari and Sutherland, the guys that called game 3 like it was a penalty, you know, penalties were free. So I think that should be okay in the Bruins' point of view.
You could throw, I think, 3 names into a hat in terms of guys you want to see produce a little bit better in this series going forward, and that's David Pastrnak, Jake DeBrusque, Brad Marchand. That's one, Maz, that keeps coming to mind.
Like Krejci.
David Krejci, another. So 4, actually. Who, to you, has to improve their game going forward here?
Jake DeBrusque. I think it's DeBrusque because even when Marchand struggles, we know that he's going to be on the PK. The PK's been pretty good. Pastrnak, you know that he's going to be good in the power play. DeBrusque, when he's not going, he doesn't give you a lot, and it drags that line down. And I look at DeBrusque last year. He's a big game player, scored some big goals for you. I think he did it this year, too, in Toronto in that first round and the second round as well. So right now, I looked it over. This series, he has 4 shots on goal in 4 games. He hasn't had a segment in which he's had 4 shots or fewer since January. So he's not getting pucks on net. He's not being the guy that Krejci needs him to be to elevate that second line. And you're seeing it in the usage. They're not using that second line like they should. So that line has to get going. DeBrusque has to get going. I think that if he can contribute something tonight, this team should beat the Blues. They really should. With the third line and the fourth line rolling like this, they should get enough to beat this team.
So I want to get to Marchand, because I think Marchand's the guy tied. Like, and you say, well, you know, he's been on the penalty kill, and the penalty kill's been good. All true. But you know what? At the end of the day, I can get penalty killing from a lot of guys. You know, Nordstrom can give me penalty killing, for crying out loud. But what I need from Marchand that other people can't give me is points. I need goals. And this is a guy that was a 100-point player this year. He's a guy that over the last 4 years, since he became a 35-goal scorer, which is really what he's been now for 4 years, since he became that player, I think he has the 4th most goals in the NHL and the 6th most points. Okay, we're talking about like a Hart Trophy type of player. Not that he's won it. He did not have a shot on goal in the last game. In the prior game, he had one. Like, they have to get more out of Marchand. If they don't get more out of Marchand, I don't think that they can win.
In the first period of game 1, they had a 2-on-1, right? Bergeron and Marchand. Marchand tries extra pass. Shoot it. You had 40 goals. Trust your shot. So I agree with you. Inexcusable. It's kind of funny to think that he's currently the leading point getter in the playoffs. It doesn't feel like it. It really doesn't. He's had a quiet 21 points or whatever it is right now. So you're waiting for that takeover game, right? He always seems to have it at some point that the line has as a whole, but Marchand in particular. I think when they won in 2011, he took over that series. I think it was around game 6. He dummied Sedin, and then game 7, he had a great game 7. So I want to see that. I'm with you. I just think that line could almost survive without him getting these goals. And it's kind of crazy to say because they're that talented. But I agree with you. I want to see decision-making there. I want to see him not hesitate to shoot it or not make the extra pass. You're a great player. Get the puck on net. This goalie, has been that good. If you get your shot on, I like your chances because you're Brad Marchand.
So we had Kevin DuPont of the Globe on earlier.
I heard that. A lot of swallowing talk.
So exactly. So when we brought DuPont on and we asked him about Marchand, He said he thinks there's something physical going on. Now, this goes back to the scrimmage that the Bruins had during the 11-day layoff here at the Garden, where Marchand appeared to suffer an injury late in that scrimmage, or during that scrimmage. Was it you who told us that he walked out of the arena with a jacket hanging over his arm?
No, that was McDonald. I'm the one who thinks he was trolling all of us.
Okay, so here's the question. Was he trolling, or is the chance that there's actually something going on there?
I think it's more mental. I really do. So if he's bothered, I don't think it's truly limiting him as much as you would think by the numbers. I think the majority of what's going on with him right now is upstairs. His decisions, and I think the same thing for Bergeron, too. When I watch these guys play, I'm not watching them going, oh, they look hurt. I'm watching them saying they're in their own heads right now. They're thinking, I got to be the takeover presence by myself instead of using my line mates as well. Or, okay, if we get the extra pass here, we get in the wide-open net versus just trusting your instincts. So they're much better than I am as hockey players, as we all know. They're better than all of us. But I think right now it's more mental than physical with all of them.
Have you? Because I know you're not that high on the Blues, and I can understand where you're coming from, too, especially when I look at Game 3 and how that played out. But are you overall kind of surprised at how there hasn't been any real momentum to this series? There's really no flow to it, and it's been unpredictable overall?
Well, no. I look at the two Blues wins. What's the commonality in all of them? The Bruins, their top line goes missing, and they lose a defenseman. So get something out of your top line or your top two lines, and don't lose a defenseman injury, and I think you're going to handle this team. I don't think the Blues are that good, and I know people lose their minds when you say this, but who do they have? Game-breaking talents. It's Tarasenko and it's O'Reilly. And even those guys,
And I wouldn't call O'Reilly a game-breaking talent.
No, exactly.
He's a good player. Really good player.
He's a hard-working player.
Tarasenko's a game-breaking talent.
But think about this. With Tarasenko, they've gifted him opportunities.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not watching these guys saying, wow, they're creating their own chances. Marcus Johansson is creating the most chances, I think, out of any player on either team right now. Charlie Coyle and Marcus Johansson have been the two best players up front for any team. And I think that it speaks to what they're doing offensively. They're creating plays. I'm not seeing that from the Blues. I'm really not. So they got a good defense and all that, but I'm not sold on them being a vastly superior team to this Bruins team.
So you mentioned Johansson and the likelihood that the Bruins are going to play seven defensemen tonight. And again, Ty Anderson of 98.5, thesportshub.com, joining us here on extended edition of Felger and Mass. But to get back to the point, Johansson and Marchand to me, even Bruce Cassidy mentioned this. In fact, Jimmy Stewart, our producer, I don't know if I'm putting you on the spot here, and we can play Cassidy's comment on what they would do at forward if they, in fact, go with seven defensemen. To me, I think this can actually help them tie. But, Jimmy, let me know if you have it, and we'll play it. The comment by Cassidy with the idea of rotating a wing into that line, whether it's Pasternak double-shifting or whether it's Johansson double-shifting because neither one of those guys penalty kill, I think that could actually help because it gets Backes off the ice time.
Yeah, no, and I 100% agree with this. I wrote about this yesterday on the website saying that I would sit David Backes and you double-shift the members of the third line. All three members of that third line, Coyle, Johansson, and Heinen, have all played at least 50 minutes with Krejci and DeBrus this year. They have experience. It's not like you're just throwing it together at the last second. I love the idea of putting Charlie Coyle there. I know it's a big ask because he's a centerman and you move him to the wing, every other shift or whatever, but I think Coyle has been phenomenal, and he might be what David Backes should be for that line. The big body drives to the net, gets second opportunities. So I love that idea, and I think that's what they're going to go with tonight. I really do believe that, because what do you do when you have a slumping line? You put a player who's on fire with them, and I think all those guys, and even Pastrnak to a degree, you can put with that grouping, and you don't lose much in terms of familiarity with those players.
You've been as confident as I have. That's starting to waver a little bit. Do you think if they lose tonight, do you think that could be it Sunday?
It's the easiest take in the world. Winner of this series, winner of this game wins the series. I think it's too hard if you lose this game to win in a rabid St. Louis environment in Game 6. But I think if you win, you put that seed of doubt and you win Game 6.
Well, we'll find out just a little bit here, Ty.
I can't wait.
Just a little bit.
This place is a bloodbath out here.
It's about an hour and a half now or so that they'll drop the puck inside the TD Garden. But we have been broadcasting to you from the Boston Sports Grill on Canal Street. You are listening to the Fan Fest on Canal Street. You are listening to an extended version of Felger and Mavs. And is Jones taken up to the pregame show? Is that what he's doing?
He will be.
Okay, so Adam Jones will take you here for the next little bit, take you right up to pregame with Bob Beers and Judd Surratt. And obviously they will take you right into Game 5 here of the Bruins and Blues. Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final, and they're really getting pivotal here feels like could have an emotional moment. Zdeno Chara's return as well. Ty, thanks for joining.
Oh, I can't wait.
Thanks,
let's get in that building.
Okay, Jones is coming up. Everybody, enjoy the game.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.